this. We get our own intro now.
Welcome to the 8:15 episode of The Ship Show. Here are your hosts, Jason Finley, and the artist only known by one name, Lex.
Wow,
listen to
Lex.
That, Finley.
Wow.
I know. I've been sitting on this intro for months now.
I like that.
I know.
Like that. I feel like, you know, we're a big deal now because we have a world-renowned professional broadcaster.
Yeah.
Introducing us. Thank you, Amanda.
Thanks, Amanda. As she said, this is The Ship Show, part of the Cowboy Podcast Network. You can subscribe on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and you can watch us on YouTube. You should watch us on YouTube. I think.
Well, I've always been told that I have a face for radio, so maybe you should just listen.
Don't tell them that, Finley. Subscribe on YouTube. You'll get notifications every time Callaway Golf has a new video. Call us, email us, shipshow@callawaygolf.com, 760-804-4653, also known as 760-804-GOLF. We will have a special voicemail from our tour truck driver next week. I called it in. Kevin Napier on the road. It's going to be great. This is an A15 episode, but before we get to our special guest, new Toulon putter models are available today.
Yes.
The Chicago, the Seattle, and an enhanced Atlanta model.
The Toulon putters are some of my favorites.
Really?
Yes. And the Chicago is... It's a good-looking putter, mm-hmm. and I think, you know, in the... interest of the putter section of my bag being a short-lived existence, usually there's a chance that a Chicago may find its way.
Yeah, you never know. Toulon putters are pretty hot on tour. They're available in Stroke Lab. You can find out all the information that you need to put one in your bag on odysseygolf.com. Go try them out. But onto better thing. Well, not better. Onto different things. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Luke and Sean are going to be banging down your door.
I know. But you can, you know what? Check out the awesome product video that Trevor made on odysseygolf.com. Our guest today has been to the Granddaddy twice, unprecedented two times. Once as a player, once as their beloved.
Not unprecedented.
I mean, you wouldn't.
It's happened a couple times.
You wouldn't think that someone from the other side would go to two,
yes.
right? Not usually. His second trip, he was the beloved ASCAP, which we just can't say without smiling for some reason. It's just funny.
We liked it so much that we had to name one on our team.
Yeah, we did.
We were jealous. We wanted our own ASCAP.
We wanted our own. He not only is a golfer and a Callaway loyalist now, but he also coaches soccer with his daughters. He's one of our favorite members of THP, and we call him Mike G. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
If I could complain, but no one really cares, and
nobody wants to hear that.
No.
Before the weekend, Finley.
No, everything's fantastic,
there
Mike.
There we go.
Well, I think your wife might care, right?
No, I really don't think so. kids would care.
She's
I don't think
concerned with the cavities that Finley had filled the other
day.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Ooh.
Oh, dark subject. Just kidding. All
been
right.
A rough week.
Let's focus on you, Mike. As we said before you came on the line, you've been a member of THP for a while now, and you are an A15er for us. What is your background with our brand?
So the background with the brand has been, it's been a little bit of a kind of an up and down journey a little bit, but I think more importantly, it's been one of those things where, I guess it was back in 2015 when I first attended the Granddaddy. A few months, maybe 6 months prior to that, I was kind of really kind of getting into golf a little more seriously. And as a member of THP, you know, between the different events that were going on, that's when Callaway really kind of popped on my radar. And ever since then, it's just been, you know, product after product that you guys have released has been better than the last. And it's just, it's made it easy to kind of stay with you guys.
So let's go back to the first Granddaddy for you.
Mm-hmm.
What was your entry into that? How did you get into it?
So I think if I remember correctly, my entry was, who would you want to take on for the Zoo Crew? And at that point, you know, everybody was fairly well known, but you still kind of had to do a little bit of a, you know, digging around to figure out who was who. And J-Rod was the biggest personality. So I just say, hey, I'll take on J-Rod. And, you know, next thing I know, I'm getting a phone call from one of the other THPers. It was actually Labor Day morning. I was asleep, and I get a phone call, and, you know, I said a couple of not so nice words, like, don't mess with me, it's too early in the morning, you know, kind of thing. but that's how I got in.
That's awesome. And I think we actually, Trevor, I think we have a picture of Mike and J-Rod that we can throw up there for people watching on YouTube. There it is.
Oh, J-Rod.
It's really cool. We'll get into your second granddaddy appearance in a bit, but you mentioned it before that you just got into golf, and what has that journey been like for you, growing into the game?
So, I mean, for me, I was always aware of the game growing up. Unfortunately, financially, it wasn't a sport that I could easily kind of gravitate towards. It was easy for them to throw a basketball at me or a football at me and kind of send me to the park and some golf clubs and drop me off at the golf course, right? So I was always aware of it as a kid. One of my I consider him like my grandfather. He's a gentleman that raised me as kind of one of my mom's father figures. He was a big golfer, and my early memories were of me and him just riding around in the golf cart. But I mean, I guess I was like maybe 6 or 7 or 8 years old and really didn't think anything about it. Fast forward to, I think it was 1999 or 2000, a buddy of mine took me out to the course for the first time, and I was hooked ever since. But I really didn't start getting really serious into it and about it until about maybe 2012, 2013. And that's when I found THP.
That's cool. You know, and I think one of the things I talk a lot about is, you know, with all you that are members on THP or any of the other forums or the Callaway community or any of these places where you're so passionate, I would say, about, you know, the sport and really the lifestyle of golf, how cool that is to where it's a part of it. And I think part of the reason why it intrigues me so much, taking my job out of it for a moment here, is just that I'm passionate about golf and I love it and, you know, all that. But I think about myself and the things that I'm involved with are passionate enough that I'd spend my time doing that. And it's really cool to me that people are that engaged in stuff and being able to, you know, leverage any of the assets or resources that are out there today with the way we live, right, are so cool. But to see what, you know, THP has become from a community perspective. And, you know, trust me, we do a ton of research on this kind of stuff, on what different forums are and what people like them for and what they don't like them for and how they use them. And certainly it's much more of a community, and in the sense that there is more of a community aspect to it, of people getting together to play golf and enjoy it and the camaraderie of it all. And I think that's why kind of the granddaddy has become such a cool event, is that it is kind of that team atmosphere of everybody's rooting for their team, even though they don't ever have a chance. sorry, I had to slip that in there. But you know what I mean? Everybody comes together and rallies around that, but there's plenty of those other things. And I think it's so cool for anybody that's involved in that kind of stuff and wants to be, that there are these avenues out there, you know, THP just being one example of it, you know, certainly Callaway community is a little more focused on the Callaway piece of it. And others are better or worse for different reasons. But, you know, it's so cool to see people's interactions and the way but that frames up. Like, Mike, I bet you could talk a lot about how many of the people that you've met or been a part of events at THP with are some of your better friends, right? And that's changed your life in some ways as well.
No, absolutely. I think it's a testament to what Josh and Morgan have built over at the Hackers Paradise, right? You know, when you put on these events, you put a face to the person behind the keyboard. So then you have people a little less reluctant to kind of be trolls, so to speak, or to do something they would normally do in person, right?
Yeah, everybody's pretty good with a keyboard in their hands.
It's true.
Yeah, exactly. So, but when you kind of put somebody face to face, and you kind of have these events and, you know, these experiences that THP does, you know, you get to meet people from all walks of life that you never would have thought you would have met in 1,000 years, right? So, some of my closest friends are from THP, and I say that where there's I've had friends that I've grown up with that I haven't talked to in years, and there's THP guys that I talk to daily. you know, I got a good buddy of mine. He played in the Granddaddy, I believe it was 2017, I believe, or 16. I can't remember now. Nate.
Yeah.
He lives in Dallas. I drive up 4 hours multiple times a year to go hang out with him and play golf. I stay at his house, and his daughters call me Uncle Mike. And I mean, that's just that stuff you can't, you know, you would never imagine. But like Jason said, it's just, you know, it's a testament to what THP has built as a community to foster that kind of camaraderie aspect of it. And the Granddaddy, obviously, it takes it up to, you know, 10, 20, 30 levels more, right? Just because everything that's thrown at you, you're having to experience it all together. And it's almost like, okay, we got to rally around each other. And then you have the community online rallying around you. So yeah, it's amazing. It feels daunting at times during the Granddaddy, but when you kind of step back and take a look at it, you know, absolutely blessed to be surrounded by that many quality people.
Yeah, it's certainly really special to be able to connect with people like over a sport like that. And then, like you said, like the kids call you Uncle Mike. Like that's a real life thing. You know, it's easy to look at the forums or podcasts or whatever and like forget about life outside of golf or media or whatever you talk about. So let's get into that a little bit. What do you do in your day to day?
So in my day to day, I'm a digital forensic investigator. I work for Chevron.
Cool.
And so basically it's cybersecurity element to it, but I'm more on the forensic side. So I track down intellectual property theft, R&D design theft, inappropriate use. You know, I have some legal components to where if I have to produce legal documents for whatever lawsuits we may be involved in, it's called, you know, e-discovery. So, you know, I have to kind of produce some of those discovery documents based on date filters and search terms and all that stuff. So, I'm kind of like a closet nerd in my day to day.
So we may have to talk after the show. I got some info I'm looking to capture on some people. Is that something you can help me out with? I'm always looking for a little ammo, and that could be really, that sounds like it could be really helpful information for me.
Oh my gosh.
Like I tell everybody, it's kind of like CSI for the computer, right? Nothing's ever deleted. I can find it.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh,
I got better be careful what I say then in my communications from now going forward regarding Mike G. See, it's always good to kind of learn some of this. And I think, you know, it is funny. I was having this conversation with somebody the other day about even from our side mm-hmm. on, I think you know some of this, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's some of this that you don't really think about even on our side. And, you know, whether it was me, I had a little issue that I was dealing with from a family perspective and trying to think about somebody that, you know, like who do I know in this field and all that, and actually traded notes with a former Granddaddy participant who happened to be a family law specialist. And he actually helped me out a little bit, you know, so it's funny how these relationships that you don't even think about, you know, and came about in a very random way. And I know like Jeff's using Sizzle to do his taxes, you know, and stuff like that, which is funny.
God bless you, Sizzle.
But, you know, now I know that if I ever need to find out any info, I got my man
got
Mike G as well. But I think it speaks to, you know, even from our side, how, you know, we're able to meet, you know, what are really extensions of people that, frankly, we're here to serve, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like in terms of we're trying to get golfers out there to pay their
product.
Hard-earned
yeah.
money to buy our products, right? But then you develop these relationships and friendships and all these things that are a part of that. And even, you know, Jeff was out in the desert this weekend visiting Al, who, you know, really that relationship has blossomed because of the Granddaddy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool how this game connects in some very random ways. So Mike, let's talk a little bit about what's in your bag currently. So what's currently making up that bag for you?
So right now I have a Maverick Max 9-degree driver.
Okay.
And the 3-wood spot is open. Still trying to figure out what I'm going to put there. I have a Max Heavenwood. And nice. Then I have a 21-degree utility iron.
Wow.
And then I drop down from a 5 through a pitching wedge, a smoke Apex 19 smoke combo set.
Nice. Very nice.
And then I have a 48-degree Jaws wedge. And then my 54 and 58 PM grinds that Anthony gave me for the granddaddy that the team had made for me. Mm-hmm. Those are my wedges. And then the putter is a kind of rotates depending on where I'm feeling, and I like to think that I can putt pretty decently with anything out there that you guys are putting on the table. But right now, it's an older putter, but it's a Mill Collection 6M is in the bag right now.
Wow!
Yeah, the putter is a revolving door, I would say, for many people. And I won't mention Lex's putting nickname because I know it bothers her,
practicing.
So I won't bring it up. But I just got a new one this week, a little Sean Toulon Office Special, I will call it. And it's I actually have a little bit of a bug to get out and play golf with it because I am now post granddaddy one round in.
Oof.
Lex was there for that round.
I was there.
That's when that nickname was instituted.
It's not good.
The nickname that will not be mentioned.
Nope.
But that's the only round I've played since the granddaddy. But I'm a little fired up based on the new putter that I got. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I have my eyes on the new Toulon Chicago that's coming out. Oh, so
that's a nice one.
You know, I'm sure as soon as that one, because I'm a one wide kind of player, or like that 330M shape, that mid mallet shape. That's my wheelhouse, right? So
okay.
as soon as that comes in, I'll be anxious to get out, but right now my time's tied up with my two girls in soccer season. So as soon as that's done, I'll be able to have more free time on my hands.
Well, you just mentioned two things in one fell swoop that I wanted to talk about. One, the new Toulon putters actually launched today when this podcast is airing, which is Thursday. So lucky you, Chicago is available now at odysseygolf.com. Also
the new Atlanta as well.
The new Atlanta and the Seattle.
Good neck.
Yep.
But your girls, I want to talk about like the other part of your life besides your really cool job that we didn't know about. you coach soccer for your girls, like you said. How much of your time is spent with them, and are you going to be getting them into golf as well?
Yeah, so girls are 10 and 8 right now, and I coach. So their seasons, they run two seasons every year, one in the spring, one in the fall. I coach both their teams, and that adds about another, I guess, 30 hours to my week between practice and skills training and game days. But, you know, I played soccer for almost 12 years, so it's a passion of mine outside of golf that I have, and it's something that I like to do. And quite honestly, I'm in it to build up these young ladies. I think, you know, having girls and being a dad of two daughters, you kind of have a different perspective, and you kind of want to build them up to be strong women that can tackle anything that they get placed in front of them, and have a never give up attitude, right? So hopefully if I can instill that in some of these girls down the line and they realize that, you know, they can, just be anything they want to be and attack anything they want to attack without fear. And, that's, I've done my job, right? So, unfortunately, my oldest isn't a big golfer. It's too slow for her. She likes the contact sport of soccer, so to speak. But my youngest, she has the bug. She's a lefty. Dave Neville, D. Neves, he helped me last year get a left-handed set for her. So she has a left-handed set of Callaway Junior clubs. And we go out and we play 9 holes in the afternoon during twilight, so we don't kind of get in anybody else's way. And she's got the bug. So I think if anybody, she's going to be the one that'll, you know, keep going with me.
One more thing before we move on from your girls. I think that's so cool that you desire to be like a mentor for them. And I just want to ask, this might be a little heavy, but recently with the death of Kobe Bryant and his daughter, obviously, like, how did that affect you? How did you address something like that? Or like, did it change anything about the way that you thought about coaching your daughters and their team?
Yeah. So it, you know, when it happened, you know, I it's kind of stuck in the back of my mind. I really didn't think about it. I guess us being in Texas and him being in California, a little bit disconnected, but the overall, I guess, what he was doing at this phase of his life was similar, right? So my oldest recognized it, and she came to me, and we talked about it. And it was just kind of one of those conversations of having her understand what I do and why I do it kind of thing, because if anybody's ever coached their kids out there, at some point the kids are going to tune you out because you're dad, right? and you know, you're not the coach. You don't know what you're talking about. So, you know, I think that helped kind of me and my oldest daughter kind of helped us kind of level set our relationship in terms of soccer and athletics. And so, you know, more importantly, and just be able to grow a little bit more closer together and understand that, unfortunately, you never know when it's time to go. But you just kind of take advantage of all the time you have and have no regrets, and everything will happen for a reason.
Well, Lex, that took a heavy turn going to there.
I had to ask.
And I tell you what, that is, I mean, I first of all, I'll say, Mike, having two kids of my own that are heavily active in sports, I think I coached my oldest son's t-ball teams the first 2 years and proceeded to retire from coaching from there, partially as a function of just not having the time that I can dedicate to it. So I have full respect for the fact that you do that. And I, you know, part of me is jealous of that. Part of me is also glad that I didn't do it, just more from a let's call it a competitiveness nature for me. I'm probably not the best one to be coaching and framing the children of our future, but you know,
trust me, it's hard for me to watch them not win.
Yeah. And it's hard enough for me to sit in the stands and watch them not win. But you know, I think, you know, the being able to do that is time that you will enjoy. And, you know, Lex knows this about me, but you know, I do everything that I can to be a part of, you know, my kids are playing high school sports now. So, you know, it's a lot, but you know, even today, right? My son has a volleyball game at 5:00. Guess what? I'm leaving here whatever time it is, and I'm going to get there to do that. And I make that a priority, right? Because that's important to me. And I know at some point here soon, unfortunately, that will stop, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there you kind of live and breathe by them as they get into it. And, you know, it was kind of weird. We were together, Lex, when we heard the Kobe news.
Yep.
And that was the one round of golf that we had played. And, you know, it was really sad to think, because as soon as I heard like the first details, I think I said to you guys, oh, he was going to this gym, where he was going. Mm-hmm. And 'cause my son had played in a basketball tournament there. But, you know, you know a little bit about that situation, and you come back and learn. And even like the other night, like I said to I got home on Monday night, I guess it was. And I said, you know, I had seen clips throughout the day of
the memorial
thing. And I said, I want us all to sit down and watch this together, you know? And then like a couple of things came through on the news. And I mean, I literally remember sitting at our dinner table, and my wife was like literally losing it at the dinner table, watching the highlights. She's like, no chance. Are we going to sit and watch that together? You know, kind of thing. But it is, I think those moments that you have with your family are so important, whatever they may be. And, you know, the fact that your one daughter is into golf and you guys can share that moment is super cool, or coaching their team or whatever it may be. And I think, you know, those moments that we all get to spend with our kids or our family, whatever, you know, your situation may be, I think is so important. So thanks for doing that, and kudos to you for sure.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, and it's kind of just the last piece of that is, you know, kids are getting thrown so much stuff nowadays, with social media, electronics, and all this other stuff, right? It's just, you know, as a dad, as a parent, me and my wife, you know, we do this together. It's just, it's another way for us to stay connected to see what these kids are doing, right? I mean, more than anything.
For sure.
And so, you know, obviously we rely on our faith to help us raise our kids and stuff like that. But any little bit of advantage we can get this day and age, you know, we welcome it. And if it just gives us that much extra time to hang out together, then that's what it does, you know.
Yeah, that's really, really special. Thank you so much for sharing that and for going to that place with me when I asked. Getting back a little bit more to your history with us, you recently were the ASCAP, fondly known as the assistant captain,
on the granddaddy of all time.
For this year. So you took part of that coaching role that we were just talking about, and you brought it to some some middle-aged men in the desert. What was that experience like for you to not play, but to, you know, help a team through the granddaddy?
Yeah. So, you know, it was a little different, but it was, if the granddaddy can have a better experience, I mean, obviously it's crazy year to year, but so in 2015, I was just hyper-focused on winning and I kind of lost myself of the bigger picture. Right. And so that was really my only kind of regret with that whole thing in 2015 was of, you know, not letting myself kind of just soak more of it in. So this year, when I got chosen to be the assistant captain with Chris, you know, first of all, I told Chris, look, you know, this is your team. You're going to captain it. You're going to manage it as you see fit. I'm going to be here along to help you navigate the pitfalls. And one of the biggest pitfalls is, you know, just take time, look at the bigger picture, because it goes by fast, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was just my main message to the guys, is just talk to everybody, get to know everybody, you know, put yourself in different situations and just enjoy the moment, because the next thing you know, you're on that plane ride, you're heading home, and you're like, okay, what the heck just happened? You know, so you know, so this year I took it more of just to kind of make sure I got to each group, make sure I didn't see anybody kind of pressing too much or grinding too much. And just, even though the weather was what it was, it didn't matter. Let's go out. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy it. You know, I know from a Callaway perspective, some of the people that are out there are up against some deadlines and some stuff. And you guys, the end of the year is a busy time of the year for you guys. So to be able to take that time away and still be out there with us, you know, that speaks volumes. So it was more of a, for me, it was closure personally. And that final day, kind of looking at the balcony, kind of staring back out at the hideaway, it was just kind of like it all came full circle, and I was okay leaving, knowing that, you know, I kind of left the right way.
Yeah, it was, you know, I remember us being out on the course, and I can't remember if I was playing with you, Lex, or
yeah, I was with you then.
And, you know, you coming up to McLovin, who, let's just say he wasn't having great success in his match. And, you know, just kind of, I had a little fear being his opponent that, you know, you were talking some sense into him and he was going to pull it together there for a little bit. Cause you basically just grounded him in the fact that, look, it doesn't matter. Right. And ultimately I know we get hung up in the competitive side of things. I'm certainly as competitive as anybody, but you know, more than anything else, it's about having a great time and getting to meet new people. And really for us to provide to the people that are there, the greatest, look, literally mm-hmm. golf experience that hopefully you'll ever have. Right.
Yeah.
And, that is the goal of it. And, you know, whether that means you won or lost a match, yeah, you're going to think about that stuff and everybody wants to win. I don't care who you are, but you know, at the end of the day, it's more about how do I take and really enjoy this. And I think more than I heard, you know, from what a great job you did helping organizing all the stuff that really you're there for, the way that you were able to show your quote unquote leadership skills of just making sure that you did what, you know, you just talked about, right? People enjoying it and taking it in and really thinking about what it's all about was so great to see. So thank you for helping to make the event even better than what we certainly strive for it to be. And certainly your role in that was big. So kind of to wrap it up, Mike, you know, I think we're thankful to have you as part of our family, we would call it. And certainly, you know, being a part of a really special event a couple times in the granddaddy, I think, you know, first I'll say sorry, because that probably definitely excludes you from any further participation in that event. certainly, you know, you're still going to be around it. And I know that, you know, as we move into the following years of the Granddaddy, you're always going to be one of the voices that are going to, you know, be helping and supporting the team in whatever fashion you can, and spending the time, you know, on the community, and certainly being an asset for us as part of Team Callaway all together, both in and out of the building. So thank you for that. And certainly all that you did this year, but in the past, and keep doing what you're doing as a human too. Mm-hmm. So.
No, I appreciate that. And you guys, I mean, I tell everybody, you know, all the time, you know, like, the big question is, why Callaway? And I was like, you know, it's the people. You know, anybody can make, everybody's making golf equipment, right? And everybody's making golf equipment that'll make you a better player. But when you're able to connect to the people behind the brand, and not just connect to the people behind the brand, but see how genuinely they want you to have fun while you play golf. They want you to be a better golfer. And then you make those personal connections, you know, that make you, that elevates that relationship, partnership, whatever you want to call it, to a different level. And, you know, we all work hard for the money we have, and disposable income isn't what it is these days as it used to be, in growing families and all this other stuff. But, you know, when you guys do what you do, it just makes it easy to be in your corner and stay there as long as it is, you know, it's happening. So I thank you guys for doing what you do on a daily basis.
Thanks a lot, Mike. That's very, very kind of you. And we just we're really excited that you are our first A15 guest of the year. This was Mike G. You can follow him on Twitter at big_time_south, right? I get that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Mike, for joining us. Tuesday, today's Thursday, but Tuesday, Jeff and I will be back in the studio, possibly for the last time the entire month of March, because March is insane.
Maybe you should just give the keys to the podcast studio to me.
It might be March Finley.
We're gonna give the people what they haven't asked for.
There you go. I'll co-host with you.
Great. There we go. All right. Don't forget to check out the new Toulon putters on OdysseyGolf.com. Until next time, we'll see you Tuesday on the Ship Show.